Thank you, Dave. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians? The first chapter, as we are still in the first chapter of this great book, as we move through this book, learning about temple keepers. Before we begin the passage, though, this week was a shaking week. I did not hear it via the media. I had a friend tell me the news. Billy Graham has gone home. Quite honestly, it took my breath away. Billy Graham was just a man, but he was a man totally dedicated to Jesus Christ. He was a man who God called and God used in a tremendous way. In our lifetimes, we will probably not see anything like him. He has given us an example. It is likely that some in this room came to know Jesus through the ministry of Billy Graham. My first actual activity as a Christian, as far as service, was giving the gospel presentation at the end of one of his movies called For Pete's Sake. I got to be with the Billy Graham team in the planning of a crusade that was held in Birmingham's Legion Field. And to hear Billy Graham close his message as he did again and again and again, in a moment, I'm going to ask thousands of you to come forth. And thousands and thousands and thousands did. We are thankful today that Billy Graham is with Jesus. And we are thankful today that God gave us such a man in our presence. But you got to be challenged today, because there is a task unfulfilled. You got to be challenged because revival needs to sweep our land. You got to be challenged because, you know, Billy Graham's not here to tell people anymore. We need to tell them. And they need to be told one by one. And perhaps you are in this room and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and we very unashamedly ask you to come to know Jesus, to repent of your sins, to accept Jesus as your Savior, and in just a little while, we will give you that opportunity. But would you join with me in our prayer time before our service, before the message, and just thank God for Billy Graham. Father, how we thank you that you call us out. Father, you have a purpose for each of us. And Father, when we are faithful, you will use us beyond measure. Thank you for taking this country boy named Billy Graham and shaking the world for Jesus. Thank you for the testimonies that will rise, Father, because of his passing. Thank you for the thousands upon thousands of times the gospel will go out just as people respond to the passing of Billy Graham. Father, let us be faithful to pick up the challenge. Let us be faithful to take your word and to understand our calling. And let us, Father, let us be willing to share as you have shown us through this servant of yours. Bless your word now. Challenge our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 26th verse. For you see your calling, brothers, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confuse the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Have you ever been a part of a group of kids when you are fixing to play a game and you got to choose up teams? Have you ever been in that group where there are two elite and the two elite kind of view who they have? And then they begin to determine who they want on their team. Who's going to help them the most? They pick very quickly at first. It is very quick. They pick the fastest. They pick the most gifted, the most talented. And of course, they pick the most popular. And it begins to slow down. They have their favorites. They get their favorites on their team. They're so excited. Their team is all excited. And they look over what's left. No longer are they picking the one that will help their team the most. They are picking the one that will hurt their team the least. And they go one by one, not choosing who they want, but choosing who they feel like they just have to take. You know, it's kind of embarrassing to be one of the last chosen. One that may not really be wanted. Not everybody is popular, and not everybody is gifted athletically. You might not realize that by the action of many parents. Many parents start their children off very, very young, knowing that they are going to be the next professional athlete and they're going to have a life of ease as they rake in the big bucks as pros. Today's parents often get their children off and into a sport, and if they excel at all, they sign them up for everything possible. If the child can play, if they can run to a base without falling over or don't hurt themselves too much when they do, they're signed up for more and more. If they begin to play and be able to endure the sport, then you have to expand. You know, in our world, no longer are seasons important because we've transcended seasons. We've left the seasons for travel ball. And everybody has their regular season, then they have their travel ball season. Some play travel ball during the regular season, but then they play it in extra seasons. Just not being able to get enough, trying to excel, trying to get it all in, trying to learn all they can. And now the family's whole income is going into the sport. And you kind of have to wonder it sometime, can that child, even if they do become a professional athlete, earn enough in their athlete career to pay everything we're putting into these weekend trips and everything else? One day, reality hits. Fewer and fewer are chosen at each level of competition. Of 8 million students participating in high school athletics, only 480,000 will compete at the college level. Less than 2% of high school athletes are awarded scholarships to compete in college. Now, how amazing is it that at Northside Baptist Church, we have had some of those. We've had them reach that level. We've had them excel, and praise God for those that have. We have many more that didn't quite get there. In college, only 1.6% of college athletes ever receive a paycheck for their sport. Playing sports is good. I am a fan. I like athletics. I like sports. I like watching it. Hey, I like the fact that we won a curling gold medal. And if I ever figure out how to find one of those rocks and find some ice, I may learn how to do that. But you got to know that sports is not the career for everybody. In fact, few are ever going to move forward to those levels. And the moral is, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put all your attention into something that, while it may be good, and I think if you are playing something, you need to give everything you have to it. In fact, I believe anything you do, whether it is a chore at home or whether it is a paid position or whether it is a game you're playing, you need to do it with all your might. Don't just phone it in. Give your entire self to it. But listen, kids especially, get a good education while you're doing it. Even if you do become a professional athlete, somebody's going to have to know how to manage what you have. Put time in the books. Learn everything you can. All through life, though, you will find people are being called. They're being picked out. They're being chosen for a bright future. Now, would it surprise you to know that our God, the creator of the universe, our God is in the habit of choosing people, of calling people out, of picking people for a bright future? God called out every one of those that were part of the Corinthian church. In the second verse of this chapter, it says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place, that call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours." And so Paul in 1 Corinthians talks about the called. 1 Corinthians 1:26, "For you see your calling, brothers, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." So God, knowing everything, looks over the people of the world. Now, certainly, he calls people to his church, and you got to know that he calls people to Northside Baptist Church. And so God scouts out for the best that he can possibly find for Northside Baptist Church. He looks to the most intelligent people on the planet, people of wisdom. Then knowing the demands of the church is going to be strenuous at times, he looks for the strongest. He knows that there's going to be some times when agility is needed, so yes, the most athletic are picked out. The church would certainly need prominence. So God chooses those with high standing, captains of industry, social elite. So to stock his church, he looks to the wisest, to the strongest, to the most talented, to those with the highest social standing. And since all those people were busy, he chose us. In truth, God has blessed our church with those he has given us. People are quick to offer their excuses as to why they can't follow God. They're quick to say, "I don't qualify. I don't qualify for that position. I don't think I'm right for that point of service." We probably need to get this out in the open. You're right. You don't qualify. You nor anyone that has ever lived measures up to the qualifications of perfection that we find in Jesus Christ. And not only do you not qualify today, you will never qualify if you have to be perfect on your own. But the good news is that's not how God calls. In truth, our church has been blessed. We have some really wonderful people. We have amazing people. We have talented people. We have friendly people, we have caring people, we have gifted people. But let me tell you something about Northside Baptist Church. I have been here 36 and a half years. I know Northside Baptist Church. I'm part of Northside Baptist Church. And more than anything else, we have regular people. Everyday people. Jesus is the only one to truly qualify. But praise God, he picks out people to serve him, people to follow him. I'm thankful for every smart person. But if you look over the Christian world, and you look over the Christian world all over the world, you're not going to find that there are a whole lot of Einsteins. I am thankful for Christian athletes who boldly stand for Jesus Christ. One of the things I look for at the end of seasons and the people that get awards is, what are they going to say? If they're a Christian, will they take that opportunity to lift up Jesus? This Super Bowl was one of the most powerful Super Bowls that I can remember, because we had a coach, we had the most valuable player, we had a great number of the winning team stand up, not just for God, but stand up and thank their Lord Jesus Christ, who made their life possible. But in truth, there are a lot more athletes that stand up for Budweiser. I pray for godly leaders for our nation. I pray for those that are in politics, that God will raise up men and women who know the right thing, who will stand for the right thing. But in truth, when you look over the politicians of the world, you will find far more that are interested in their reelection than in their faith. Praise God, we have a few people that are holding to Jesus no matter where they are. And that's the kind of people we need to pick out. And that's the kind of people we need to pray for, especially when they find themselves in office. The Corinthian church needed to face the same truth that Northside Baptist Church needs to face. God did not pick us out because of our attributes, our abilities, and our wisdom. God picked us out because of his love. You know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, God chose you because God loves you. God called you out because God loves you. God has put a call out to the people of the world for whom Jesus bled and died. And let me say, Jesus bled and died for all. And so God's call goes to all. No one comes to God without a calling. No one serves God without a calling. In Romans 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. The Holy Spirit makes a call of conviction. From time to time, we'll have people come in the church and they'll say, you know, I came in and I just started feeling bad. You know, I just started thinking about how I didn't measure up, and I started just feeling bad. And I said, well, you know, that's called conviction. God convicts our heart. He lets us know when we're out of step. What you need to know is not worry about feeling bad, but get in step so that you'll feel good. The Holy Spirit will convict your heart. He will convict you that you are a sinner. And he must convict us where we are wrong before we'll know that we need to get right. So we need to pray that God will convict us. We need to pray that God will point out. The psalmist said, Lord, watch me and know me. See if there is any wicked way in me. We need to be praying, God, search out my heart. Find what is wrong. Find where I'm out of step. Find where I'm not walking with you, and show it to me and lead me from it. Convict my heart and call me away. You do not choose when you can schedule God into your life. If He is God and He calls, it is your responsibility to answer. You can only come when He issues the call. If you refuse the call when God calls, God is under absolutely no obligation to ever call again. You may say that God called me and then He called me and then He called me. Well, praise God that He was willing to do that for you. That doesn't happen with everyone. And so today, if you understand that God is calling you, that God wants you saved, God wants you going to heaven, God wants to forgive your sins, you need that, then today is the day to answer that call. Those that respond to God's calling are much like the makeup of the general population. He talks about us. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. You kind of want to say, gee, thanks a lot. God doesn't just pick out all the PhDs of the world and all the super athletes. Praise God He doesn't, because the rest of us would be left out. He picks sinners, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that is you and that is me. And because we are all sinners, we have all been picked out, we have all been chosen. He came and died on Calvary's cross for us. If you will answer His call, if you will accept His call, then He will forgive you, He will save you, and He will use you, no matter who you are. Listen, you don't have to be the next Billy Graham. You just have to be the right you. You know, when God calls you into the ministry, you kind of figure out, well, you know, I'm no good at this, and y'all probably figure that out. And you try to figure out, well, how am I supposed to do this? And you start listening to people, and you start trying to think, well, could I be like this person or could I be like that person? You know, and I looked out at my little church in Kansas City, Missouri, and, you know, I just couldn't find any way to look at those 30 or 40 people and say, in a moment, I'm going to call thousands of you to come forth. It took a while for me to understand that my job was not to be W.A. Criswell or Billy Graham or Adrian Rogers. My job was just to be Jerry Speer. And sometimes I've not done that very well. But I'm still working on it. And God cares enough about me to choose and call me. And my friend, God cares enough about you to choose and call you. And your calling is just as valuable as Billy Graham's calling. When you know God calls, I encourage you, answer and answer yes. Here am I, Lord, send me. And so Paul talks about the called. He talks about the chosen in verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Well, now I'm beginning to understand a little bit. I don't know why God chooses me, but now He's saying He chooses the foolish things of the world and the weak things of the world. Hey, I'm starting to find where I can fit in. God chooses everyday people to use as a witness because most of the world is everyday people and they need someone like them to tell them about Him. And that is you and that is me. God chose a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham lived in the thriving metropolis of Ur. And so God called Abraham out of Ur. Abraham was so shaky as a leader, so shaky in his stand, so shaky in his belief in God, that when he thought he was in danger, he thought that he might be put to death because of his beautiful wife. He told his wife, "Tell everybody you're my sister, not my wife." He did that not once, he did it twice. And God still used him. Let me tell you, I have no thought and no problem at all knowing that God protected Abraham. He had to protect him or his wife would have killed him. God took this shaky faith and turned him into the father of faith. God chose a shy, stuttering man with a quick temper, with a temper so violent that on one occasion that temper rose and he killed a man. The name of this man was Moses. And Moses was an outcast of Egypt. He had his chance at being somebody. He was raised in Pharaoh's palace, but he ended up a criminal with little to his to call his own except a big stick. God took Moses. God trained Moses. God spent years on Moses and equipped him, and then God chose Moses to lead his people out of captivity. It was Moses that stood up to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." It was Moses that led 2 million Jews out of Egypt across the Red Sea on dry ground. It was Moses that led them through the desert to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. It was Moses that led them all the way up to the Promised Land. God chose to use Moses as one of the greatest leaders of all time. And then there was Joshua. Joshua. Now Joshua was a great leader. God used Joshua to take them on into the Promised Land. God used Joshua to equip them for battle. Joshua, the great military leader, equipped his people with pots and bugles. Now, some in this room have gone through officer training. Some of you have been responsible for great amounts of equipment. Some of you would understand pots and bugles are generally not warfare gear. Pots and bugles. I know of some tactical movements. You can flank the enemy. You can surround the enemy. You can use pincer movements. Joshua marched around in circles. And when the time came, they broke pots and they blew horns. And the walls came tumbling down. Those walls came tumbling down because Joshua answered the call and then he was chosen for greater things. David had little battle training. He learned what he learned taking care of smelly old sheep. He could play a harp. He could use a slingshot. And though just a boy, God sent him with his slingshot against one of the greatest foes ever faced. And God used this boy, David, to give courage to a nation to defeat giants. And even today, God has used the testimony of David because he was faithful to his call. He was chosen by the Lord. God used him to teach us how we can face the giants that are in our own lives. Just trust in Jesus, using what he gives us. Jesus would call out a motley crew of uneducated men to be his first disciples. He chose out of them the tax collectors who were known to be traitors to the Jewish faith. He chose fishermen who had a certain odor about them. And not exactly the types of people that you're going to pick to change a world, and yet these are the individuals that were chosen by God, called, chosen, put to service, that turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. What we know of God, what we know of Jesus, what we know of salvation, we only know because that crew followed their calling and did what they were chosen to do. Praise God for them. God has chosen those that would not be chosen by the world. He uses those who have responded to him to to be greater witnesses to a lost and dying world. The Bible is our tool. The Bible is the great academic equalizer. A man that knows his Bible or a woman that knows her Bible can be on equal ground with anyone of any education. And God can use the wisdom of his word to bring about his purposes in your heart and through you if you will just follow it. God's Spirit gives you strength for whatever God chooses for you to do. It is clear that God has not ruled out those that have wisdom and wealth and power and position. And if that happens to be you, I'm glad you are you, and I'm glad you are here. The Bible says not many. And God chooses out from among all. If you will be willing to come to Jesus, if you will answer his call to salvation, then understand God is going to choose you for a purpose. Follow him in that purpose. When you come, you will know that you are chosen. When you are chosen, follow the will of God in accomplishing your purpose. And then we see the commended in verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. The Corinthian church had come to be a very proud people. Some thought that they were better than other people because of who they were baptized by. They thought that gave them some greater spiritual standing. But God reveals he has chosen to despise the nobodies of the world to show that personal pride does not save. No one, no flesh, should commend themselves. No one should boast or brag in their own standing. When we measure ourselves next to Jesus, we don't measure up. How can we boast when we see Jesus hanging on a cross? What we should be doing is falling on our knees before him, asking him to forgive us, asking him to cleanse us, and asking him to use us. In the presence of Jesus, we should all fall on our knees. And you know what really is wrong with the American church today? There are not a lot of American Christians on their knees. We need to be able to lower ourselves that we might exalt him. As John the Baptist says, he must increase, I must decrease. Anything we are, anything we have, is only by the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we find wisdom. In Jesus, we find righteousness. In Jesus, we are forgiven. In Jesus, we find holiness. And only in Jesus can we be redeemed. All glory, honor, and praise goes to him. And let me tell you, I commend all of you who follow the Lord, and I am thankful for you. But together, we must commend him. We must praise him. We must start telling people about him. Because the hope for our world is the hope for our hearts and our eternity, and it is Jesus. And you don't have to worry about what time it is right now, because it looks like you're going to be here a while. God has a way of getting our attention, and today, in light of Billy Graham's passing, in light of the knowledge that we have lost one of the greatest voices for the gospel, today is the day for us to stand up in the calling for which we are called, to follow what he has chosen us to do, and to commend him as our all in all. If you are here and you don't know Jesus, would you just walk down an aisle and say, I want Jesus? He'll come into your heart. He will save your soul. You're here and you're a believer, and you know that God has saved you. Well, also know that God has chosen you. You have a purpose. Start living for that purpose. And then commend Jesus day by day. Lift him up in everything you do. Make sure you exalt him. One day we will see him face to face. When we see him, we will want to have served him. Believers, would you be willing just to bow before Jesus and determine in your heart and life you are going to follow the call, you're going to fulfill what you're chosen to do, and you're going to commend Jesus with your life? Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask that you would move within our hearts in this room, Father, or some that have never asked Jesus to save their souls, Father, and good people, but not saved people. And Father, you've brought them here today to understand that one, they don't have Jesus. Two, they are a sinner. They need Jesus. And Father, then to follow through with receiving Jesus. Let them come and receive you today, just to walk down an aisle and say, I want Jesus. For believers, Father, that we will understand the calling God has put on our life, what he has chosen us to do, and that we should commend him with all that we do. Let today be a day of fresh commitment. And Father, if there are some who need a church home and you've chosen this to be the place, guide them, Father, to become part of our family. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing.